Hey, everybody. Happy Sunday.
And we are back.
Well, you know.
Yeah. And today we're going to do Candyman. We just saw this yesterday. We saw it in the Dolby Theater.
Yeah, man. Went to the Dolby Theater at 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah, the first showing of it in our area. Because I think that was opening day, right?
No, it opened Friday.
It opened Friday?
Friday night. Yeah.
So it was just day two. The first showing, I think, of day two. Didn't you say 2 o'clock is the first
showing?
At least for Dolby. Yeah.
Yeah, because I said, well, this is one I'm actually really glad that we saw this one in the theater, because I think one of the best things about it is the visuals. This is like an amazing looking movie.
So you're getting into it already?
No, I'm just saying that it's like, that's why I'm glad we saw it in the theater. I just thought I would say that.
Yeah. Also, they really, you know, we're thinking about getting our Stubbs membership again.
Yeah, because it looks like there's some good shit like coming out.
Some good stuff coming out.
And like I said, it's almost October, and that's usually like when a lot of horror movies come out.
Yeah.
We saw a trailer for Halloween Kills, which that looks pretty good.
Trailer for the new Venom looked really good.
Yeah, we saw a trailer for the new Venom. Also, we saw the trailer for the new Edgar Wright movie, which was called, what?
About the Ghost.
One Night in Soho.
Yeah.
That looks intriguing.
Yeah, it looked good.
So, yeah, I think that was my favorite of all of the trailers that we saw. I'm like, ooh, that looks weird. It looks like something I'd be into.
So, so we saw Candyman. I've seen the original. We saw it new when the very, very first one came out. What was that, 1992?
92, the first 92? One came out, yeah.
That was a great movie, man. It was like a classic. All right, good storytelling. It was just a classic movie. That movie still stands on its own feet today. We saw it last year?
Well, we did a retrospective on it. Yeah, probably about a year ago. I don't remember, it wasn't that long ago.
There's a part two, but I've never seen.
There's a part two and a part three. I had forgotten. Part two. Thank you. No need for me to. The part two is called Farewell to the Flesh, and part three is called Day of the Dead. I thought that I hadn't seen either one of them, but then when I read the Wikipedia synopses, I was like, oh, wait a minute. I think I did see the second one, maybe a couple of times, because the plot sounded very familiar. I remember it being okay, but like nothing to write home about.
Like Pumpkinhead.
I don't think I saw the third one, but I've heard it's atrocious.
Right.
Even though Tony Todd is in all of them.
Yeah.
I think that the third one, Day of the Dead, has like 9% on Rotten Tomatoes or something like that. So what I didn't know until I looked into this a little bit more was that they've actually, Bernard Rose, the guy who directed the 1992 original, he has been wanting to make a real sequel to this movie since way back in like 2004, where he basically wanted to skip over the second and third ones that already got made and just like make a direct sequel. So this movie has taken that long to go through, like, and it's gone through like a zillion different iterations. Okay. So they've been like actually trying to get this off the ground for like 20 years almost.
So Candyman kind of took the same trajectory as Pumpkinhead. The first one's a classic. Fucking Pumpkinhead 2 and 3, fucking unwatchable.
Well, I do kind of feel like, with very few exceptions, and there are exceptions, but usually, you know, when you have a franchise like this, you know, it's usually like the first one's awesome, then they make another one, that was all right. Then the third one's like, man, this is getting really sucky. And then by the time they get to the fourth and fifth one, you're just like, oh my God, please just stop.
All right, so this one is not a bad movie. It's a mixture of really good and, what in my opinion, bad. Overall, it's mediocre. Jenny liked it, I think, more than I did.
Yeah, I didn't love it, but I totally thought it was worth watching, though. But there was some stuff that I thought could have been different or fixed. Yeah. But overall, I thought it was like a decent watch.
Overall, I wouldn't pay to see it. If I was a fan of Candyman 1, probably wouldn't pay to see it. We'll probably get into it further on in the review. It's on you. You know what I mean? I had heard some shit from the like sneak reviews, but I didn't go out and look for it. It just in passing, some of the other channels that I subscribe to mentioned it, and it didn't sound good. But I didn't want to. Into the theater with a neutral view. It was not a painful movie. It's a real good looking movie. The acting is very good. The casting is good. some of the cast members, like that guy who played Flag and shit, they really stood out. There was.
I don't think that wasn't. That was the guy from
Fear the Walking Dead.
From Fear the Walking Dead.
What was his name? Flag, right? Randall
no,
Flag?
That was from The Stand.
That's from
whatever.
The Stand. That's right. What was the name of that character from Fear the Walking Dead?
I can't remember. Coleman Domingo is the actor's name.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, he's in it. And he actually shines in this movie, but there's not enough of him. That's the problem. The other, it's just the way the story goes. There's not a lot of character development. The characters aren't too fun. It's just, man, I don't want to spoil anything. I don't want there to be a bunch of spoilers in here. To me, it was just kind of disappointing because it didn't give me the type of movie that I wanted to see in terms of Candyman. You know what I mean? It didn't. First of all, Todd's not. He's in it, but not much. A few seconds, really. Okay. And it's at the very end. And it's just... he kind of made this character. That's who I really kind of... I mean, that dude's almost... I don't know. Try to do it in a movie without him in it. Without that voice. And without that kind of gothic horror style of the very first one, it's very different. This is a very 2021 movie. It is not in the same tone as the first one. It does have a bunch of Kubrickian stuff in it. The way it was filmed, I thought was really cool. The effects when you see Candyman are really cool. I like the ideas behind it. I liked certain scenes that the Candyman that he was in there. But the problem is there's just not enough of it. It's very dialogue heavy. The first one was kind of like that, too.
It was, yeah. And I mean, but, I was going to say that, actually, I think they did a decent job at recapturing the tone from the first one. The first one being set in the world of academia, this one being set, like, more in the art world.
Yeah.
Which I think the second one was kind of set in the art world as well. Like, you know, art galleries and stuff, at least if I remember correctly. So it's like they are kind of, like, going off of that. So I think they did a good job, like... tonally, but I will agree that I think that they should have done, because this isn't a real, it's not a real gory movie.
No.
A lot of the kills kind of happen like
off screen
or like, you know, and yeah. It's artistically done, which I think is cool. But I think sometimes like people wanted to see maybe more of like a slasher type element.
Yeah.
Which this is, I don't know. I don't know if I'd call the original Candyman a slasher either. I guess it kind of is, but it doesn't like follow a lot of the tropes. And I think this is kind of the same. This is along the same lines. I don't even think this is quite as bloody as the first one.
No, I don't think it is either. Now, the first one, now it's been a year since I've seen it, but the first one, the tone that I remembered and what stayed with me is kind of like a silver screen, kind of like... monsters from Universal Studios, like Dracula or let's gothic horror, like Dracula or Frankenstein. It kind of had a build up along that lines. It had a certain amount of like tragic romance to it. There was a certain amount of charm to the movie. This one I kind of felt kind of ham-fisted. That one of the complaints I heard is that the movie was fucking woke. All right, I don't really think it was. I think maybe it was trying to be woke, but it's hard to say because
well, the thing
woke
about it is
horror is kind of weird. And
well, the thing
know,
about the original one, the original one was, you know, the whole character of Candyman is about racial injustice. That's where that. So it's like, so I think that's kind of a dumb complaint because that's kind of what the character came from.
Yeah, but the thing is though is that you can't. Never mind.
What?
You have to have like a consistent philosophy to a movie if it's going to be woke. It can't contradict itself. So there, I did pick up contradictions, but then some of the characters, because the characters are from the art world in Chicago, they themselves are kind of woke and cringy. The characters, some of them, the characters that are in there are kind of like that. So you're not sure. Sometimes they say things that kind of point out contradictions inside their philosophy. So you don't know if that's an error in the movie or if it's just a misconception that character has, or if it was a message. It's some of the things are very
well. It's kind vague. Of it's self aware. It's very vague, it's 2021, so people are like kind of aware of those types of things. So
yeah.
It's almost kind of like when they have a character say something like that, it's almost like they have somebody else that like points out. Well, so it's not like you know.
But
what I mean?
You can't. You can't counter or stop racial injustice or hatred with more racial injustice or hatred. That would be a vicious cycle. In other words, like two wrongs don't make a right. You can't... But was that part of the horror element of the movie? It's unclear. I guess you say it's philosophically ambiguous. It's open to interpretation.
But that's good,
If that's what it was. It might have just been errors or poor writing. I don't know.
Well, I don't think it was because it's just, you know, like I said, Jordan Peele was one of the writers on this. He didn't direct it, which I think a lot of people have a misconception about that. Yeah. Nia DaCosta directed it, and she was one of the writers on it as well as Wynn Rosenfeld. One thing I was, like I said, I don't want to spoil anything, but I do like, and I had to, it's funny because I had totally forgotten this. I do like the way that they expanded the Candyman mythos out in the sense that Candyman, since he's an urban legend, essentially, he can be personified by different people. And I had totally forgotten that the first movie kind of set that up, because at the end of the first movie, if you haven't seen the first movie from 1992, too bad, I'm just going to spoil it. But Virginia Madsen, she dies at the end of the first one, saving the baby. And then she subsequently becomes a Candyman type character. Like her husband like says her name 5 times in the mirror and she pops out and kills him. So there is like precedent for that. I also liked, and like I said, I think somebody said earlier that this was a remake. It's not a remake. It's a sequel. It's a direct sequel to the first one. It's not, and it's essentially pretending that the second and third one that everyone like said were not that good do not exist. This is basically, and I don't think this is a spoiler because I'm pretty sure they said this in the first trailer, that the main character in this, Anthony, is the grown-up version of the baby from the first movie. So this is like this many years later. It's still set in Chicago at Cabrini Green, although now Cabrini Green has mostly been torn down. The kind of ghetto part where they filmed it, that is actually all that's left of Cabrini Green. So they did actually shoot it on location. And so they kind of talk about like, you know, shit being gentrified and stuff like that because, you know.
Yeah, that was another one of the things that kind of threw me for a loop. They were complaining about the gentrification of the area. But when you looked at Cabrini Green, it was looked like a fucking minimum security fucking prison work camp. And they were talking about how horrible it was they didn't live there anymore. And they're saying this from inside these beautifully furnished fucking high-rise apartments that fucking I could barely afford to live in. So what, they want to go back to the hood? It didn't make any sense. And then one of the characters pointed that out, but it happened to be a white character that pointed that out, and they didn't like that. To some of the people in the comment sections just saying Jordan Peele is a racist. If you were to take this movie and switch the races around, this would be a horror movie equivalent of fucking Birth of a Nation.
I do not agree with that whatsoever.
That's, they would attack it like that.
I don't agree with that whatsoever.
What if you had a good... So, you're either racist or you're not racist. You can't defeat racism with race war and hatred. You just can't. And which is it supporting that? I don't know. It's open to interpretation. It's about a black ghost that kills white people. That is a horror story, I guess.
Well, and the thing, like I said too, they kind of went into not so much gentrification in the first one, but they did point out that where Virginia Madsen's character lived, and she was kind of like more upper middle class, so like her and her husband, their building was exactly the same layout as the ones in Cabrini Green, because they'd all been built at the same time, which actually does correspond with reality, where they built them all at the same time, but there was like a very fine line between, oh, these are like the ghetto over here, and these are like the upper middle class kind of shit over here. So they did kind of like go into that in the first one. Yeah. Interestingly, the first one, like I don't know if people know this, but it was based on a Clive Barker short story called The Forbidden. And in his version, It's actually set, I think it's set in Liverpool, I want to say, like in essentially like a housing estate. So his is more class-based than race-based, but it's the same, you know, he was going for the same type of thing. You know what I'm saying?
All, you know, philosophy or moralism aside, it's a high-quality movie in the way that it was shot. It looks good. The score is good. The acting is very good. The casting is pretty good. The edit is a little meandering and kind of artsy, especially in the first half. But I think if I remember correctly, the first one was a little bit like that too.
It was.
I think that the problem with the movie is that it's a horror movie and it's not scary. I didn't find it to be scary.
Yeah, I did like some of the setups, like particularly when they have Candyman. I like that they had, like you said, it was almost kind of like these kind of weird, like, Kubrickian, like, long shots. And sometimes, like, he'd be in the mirror, like, in the background, and it wouldn't really, like, call attention to it. So it's like if you weren't really looking back there, you wouldn't see it. I really loved that one particular shot where that one woman gets killed in her high-rise apartment, and they just, like, show it, like, as the camera's going back and back and back, and you just, like, and it's very, very small. Yeah. Like, I really, really liked that. I really loved the way, instead of... Because they said we didn't really want to put, like, just dumbass, like, flashbacks in the movie or show parts from the original movie or whatever, like, because that seemed kind of cheap jack. But so I really like that when somebody was telling a story about Candyman or something that had happened in the past, they had these really cool, like shadow puppets type of shows, which was really, really cool. Yeah. I like that they played a lot more with the mirrors. I like that they almost did... kind of like a Nightmare on Elm Street type of thing, where it's like if you weren't looking in the mirror, you could only see Candyman in the mirror, but, you know, he was still at times, but, it depended on who had summoned him.
There's also some weird shit that was never really made clear whether or not this was real or if this was this a real thing, or, like, was it a real ghost, or was it people going crazy and killing people? It was kind of... How many of them were there? Because there's more than one Candyman, and another one gets made. But they're all kind of merged into the same thing. It's kind of convoluted.
Well, the point of it is that, and like I said,
it's not an easy to follow story.
It's not, and I will. I was gonna say that if you're gonna go see it, I would advise seeing the first one first because. Yeah. I don't know, like, this one maybe could stand up on its own, but there is a lot of reference back to the first one, and, you know, in the first one, she's, like, an anthropologist or something like that, so the kind of the whole point of the character is the power of myth-making, and it's just kind of like, and the power of urban legends, and how... So that's why I kind of liked that they expanded it outward a little bit, like I said, and kind of jumped off from the first movie where she essentially, like, took the mantle of Candyman, like Virginia Madsen's character. So I kind of like that they expanded that further in this one. It's just like every time something Candyman-like happened, like Daniel Robitaille, who was the original one played by Tony Todd, every time something like that happened in this area, like it's almost like a new urban legend like sprang up about it. So it's kind of like the power of stories to bring things into reality. Yeah. And, you know, and the first one explored that really well too, because like I said, for a long time, you didn't know if Candyman was real or if Helen Lyle was just had snapped and was killing people, and, you know, it was just telling because she had like all this. I mean, obviously, you're supposed to think that Candyman's real because that would be lame if it was just like all in her head and stuff. But you know what I mean. But that's kind of like what this is exploring. I will say that I think that if I was re-editing this movie, Bryce, not a long movie. I think it's only 90 minutes.
Really?
It
seemed to be longer.
Well, I think that they spent too long on the first two acts, and then the third act felt a little bit rushed.
Yeah.
A little bit.
I think it had budgetary problems, if you ask me.
I don't know. That's well, honestly, it cost $25 million, which was... This is funny. It cost $25 million to make, which is the same amount that they were going to make for it, like when they were going to make it back in 2004. So it didn't get any more money. Right. But from what I know, like the opening weekend, it seems to have made more money than they were expecting so far. And so, you know, so they might end up making another one. I don't know, because they did leave the end open. If they wanted to make another one, they could. But I will say that there was some kind of stuff. One, I think there was too many characters. I know that they introduced some characters just to have them get killed. You know what I mean? They didn't really have a lot of... They just wanted cannon fodder.
Yeah, like that first couple. Was the bearded guy the fucking gay... The gay dude's boyfriend fooling around with the white girls?
No. He was some kind of... He was some kind of professor, art promoter, something like that. And he was, like, screwing around with...
Yeah, but that, wasn't he hanging out with the black dude, though?
Wait, I don't know which guy you're talking about.
The interracial gay couple that first showed up.
Right. Well,
wasn't that the dude from the interracial gay couple?
No. That was a different dude.
They all look alike to me. They all look alike. They're these soy boys with these little beards and shit. Fucking, no, I thought that was the same white dude.
No, the other guy was like, he had a beard too, but he was like taller and chunkier
than the other guy.
No, the other the main character's like brother's boyfriend wasn't fat.
I thought they were the same.
He was skinny.
I thought they were the same.
And he
guy.
Was, but he was shorter.
Okay.
And he had more like kind of Welcome Back Cotter type of hair. Yeah, it was like fluffier.
They look ridiculous.
But but you know what I mean. So I do think there were some characters that were introduced just to get killed.
Yeah.
That didn't really have anything to do with which, you know, fine, it's a slasher movie. You know, they do that. I also, here was a weird thing too. There was a scene, there was like a flashback scene, because they kind of went into Anthony's girlfriend, Brianna, who she had started having nightmares and shit like that as well, because he's an artist and he didn't know that he was the baby from the first one. So he just kind of gets fascinated by the urban legend and starts using it in his work and stuff, which subsequently like ends up introducing it to a new audience, I guess. But the thing about it is that his girlfriend was also saying she was having nightmares, and then there was this one flashback scene where she had a dream or something like that, like about her dad killing himself, and then they didn't really bring that back up again. So it's like that probably could have been, unless I missed it, that probably could have just been left out because it wasn't really relevant. So that's what I'm saying. There was like, I just think there was a little too much.
They were filling.
Well, I just think there was a little too much of character. They should have, and they should have like put more on the end, and like expanded the climax of it.
I thought
like
it was just getting rolling,
like the final battle.
It just started to get started, just started to roll, and all of a sudden it ended.
But that's really kind of like the main criticism I would have of it.
Is this a prequel or something, or what is it going to continue in the next movie? Really, what it was is I think it was they didn't have the budget. Cinema is about showing, not telling. But they had to pad it out with a whole lot of telling. I didn't need all that dialogue about gentrification or all that dialogue about racism. We know that that's wrong. They don't need to tell us that. Just show the fucking story and all this shit that happens. But they couldn't because I think they had to pad it out for budgetary reasons. It should have been just Candyman killing people. And it should have had a lot more supernatural stuff, but I don't think they could have afforded it. Because when Candyman showed up, the effects were fucking good. They were cool.
Like I said, I
wanted to see a whole movie of that.
I loved all the shit they did with mirrors.
The bees flying on the inside of the mirrors.
That was super cool.
That was pretty good. Picking people up invisibly and killing them, but then you could see certain things happening in the mirrors. You could see Candyman doing it. There just should have been a lot more of that. A lot more of that. And a lot less of talking about things. It's just like, you don't really need a CRT class. People know all that. That's played out. They've been talking about that shit for fucking 5-10 years now, or 5 years at least, fucking intensively. So you don't need CRT classes. All right? Just fucking show the fucking movie. So it bogged it down, but I think it was budgetary. I think that's why they did it. Because that's why the edits felt so fucking wonky. But the thing is it's kind of it's kind of frustrating because they had a good villain, they had a good cast, and the acting was solid. The acting is good. And the way it was shot was really cool.
I loved the cinematography and direction.
The score and everything. The problem was the script and the edit. And
honestly, I think it probably could have been fixed. Like I said, there were some extraneous characters. Like I said, I kind of feel like it would have been better if they could have... if not taking out some of the what I called the cannon fodder characters,
yeah,
at least integrating them into the story a little bit more, yeah, instead of this them just being like, oh, I happen to be here and like I summoned Candyman and he's gonna kill me and stuff.
They're in there, okay, they're in there going, but still, you know, does fucking Todd show up in the movie?
There's a cameo. There's all right? a cameo. He does a cameo
at the very
end. And they do have Virginia Madsen's voiceover, yeah, so yeah, her voice is actually in it. Like when Anthony is researching the case and he finds her, goes to the university library and finds her tapes,
yeah,
like from the original one. So she did actually reprise her role, at least in voice. But, you know, it's, I don't know, I'd have to go back and watch the first one again, even though it wasn't that long ago that I watched the first one, because the first one is kind of, it's kind of slow too, in the same sort of way. But I think the first one did a little bit better job of like integrating all the characters that, yeah, got killed. You know what I mean? Oh, I will say too, Vanessa Williams, who played Ruthie Jean, Anthony's mom in the first movie, she's back in this one playing his mom in this one as well. And she looks like she has not aged a, yeah, fucking day.
Yeah.
She looks almost exactly the same. And it's like, as soon as I saw her, I was like, holy fucking shit.
Yeah.
How long ago was that? That was like 20 years ago. No need for me. She still looks exactly the same.
No need for me too. Says this still doesn't. This doesn't top Nick Cage's The Bees. The Bees. Remember this?
Right. Yeah, I know. But yeah, I mean, overall, it's like, I definitely think it's worth watching. I think that you probably need to see the first one to get the most out of this one, because I think there's some stuff in it that maybe if you haven't seen the first one, maybe you won't like get it, or you'll be like, what the fuck? Or you might be kind of lost. I don't know. As you know, because I've seen the first one lots of times. So I didn't have any trouble following it or anything, but it's like, if you haven't seen the first one, but I kind of feel like most people that were like waiting to see this were really into the character of Candyman and have seen the first one and maybe even the other ones, yeah, that, you know, people don't really like to talk about. But, you know what I mean? So I kind of feel like maybe that won't be an issue.
I don't know.
But, you know, it's, I don't know if it works as a standalone or if you really have to have seen. Because like I said, it is a sequel. It's not a remake.
Yeah.
So, you know what I mean?
It's a, it'll make its money back probably. I checked Rotten Tomatoes, and you know, I think it's got like a fucking high 80s, low 90s for the professional reviewers. You know, like, you know, talking about how stunning and brave it is. The regular viewers' reviews, I think, are in the 70s, and they're just kind of in, like, it's okay, you know. But then there's a lot of them just one stars that it was just total crap. I think it was kind of in the middle. I think it was just kind of mediocre. I was disappointed because right when it started to rev up and fucking the cameo fucking Todd happened and he says his line, I was like, oh man, I'm finally getting the movie that I fucking paid to see. And then it was over. And I was like, oh no. When it ended, I was like, she was sitting there right next to me. I was like, oh no, that's it. And it's just, I was like, all right. It's just that character really hinges on fucking Todd. Todd made that fucking character. His look.
He's a hard act to follow.
That voice is some. He's like the James Earl Jones of horror. He can do that voice. I can't even do that shit. He had that deep fucking voice, and that's what made this character. He at least should have done the voiceover for it. There should have been more voiceover.
I mean, yeah, they didn't do a lot of Candyman voiceover.
Should have done a bunch of Candyman voice. Even when he was invisible, you didn't have to see him, you know, because you know he's older now. He did this when he was young, so you don't have to see him. But his voice, there should have been a lot more of that. I would have paid just to hear his voice and him saying smart shit, kind of like Freddy, and a lot less of the.
Oh God! Please don't make him say shit like Freddy. Like, yeah, well, you know, where it started getting
that
funny later.
Was funny. Hey, well, Freddy fucking always had to say some shit when he was gonna fuck you up. But the Todd's Candyman is like a Universal monster from Universal Studios of back in the day. That's at the level it's got to be. And this movie just didn't deliver. I wouldn't pay to see this movie.
I did like the actor that played Candyman in this one, but like you said, he didn't really talk much.
Yeah, he didn't talk much.
But I did like
and he was like another Candyman too. He wasn't the same Candyman. He was the
That's kind of like the whole point of the story was that the urban legend had kind of grown and mutated.
Yeah.
Now it was like a different boogeyman. It was a different guy.
So it's not quite the same thing.
But like I said, it's hard to follow Tony Todd. I was going to say too, I forgot to say that one of the things that they were throwing around back in the early 2000s, which, you know, was kind of like not really a great time for horror movies. I guess, you know, remember when Freddy versus Jason came out and it was like just this big, huge phenomenon? So after that came out and now everybody's like, oh, now we need like all these like monster mashups like in the early 2000s. They were going to do Candyman versus Leprechaun in the early 2000s. I mean, those are just two completely different, like tonally different franchises.
Candyman and Troll 2.
I just think that would have been stupid as shit.
Yeah.
I mean, Freddy versus Jason, okay, fine. They're both like slasher villains. Yeah. It's fun. Yeah. Shit like that. But like I said, Candyman seems more like, almost like a more cerebral type of villain or a more cerebral type of movie. The first one was as well. So it's just kind of like doing that with like this campy like leprechaun shit. Yeah. I don't know who's like what kind of coke they were snorting like to whoever came up with that idea. Thank Christ they didn't do it. And, you know, honestly, Tony Todd even said at the time, he's like, yeah, I wouldn't have done that if they had asked me to do that. Fuck that shit.
I think with this one, the main problem was the budget. They couldn't do a whole lot of Candyman scenes. They couldn't afford the special effects. They just got some people together and made this movie on a budget. They had got Jordan Peele involved. And then they kind of, 2021, pasted it onto kind of like BLM movement and just throw it out as a product, kind of like a cash grab. That's kind of, even though they did put effort in it, it's just the effort was focused around, I think, keeping the budget down. It was very
well, like I said, $25 million is not a lot of money, for a horror movie. Although, like I said, it doesn't have to be super gory. And I liked the stylish way that some of the kills were shot.
Yeah.
But you could have done more with the gore. And I'm not saying there's not any in it.
There's some in it, yeah.
That the one set piece, like at the art gallery where that couple gets killed, like the beardy guy and the girl in the Joy Division shirt, you know, when they get killed, that's like pretty gory. They show like, you know, throat slashings and like the guy's ankle breaking and all this other stuff. So they do have stuff like that. And actually the, that whole setup for it is really cool. Like the way, cause there's all these projections on the walls and like the red light and everything.
I kind of think this one's going to be forgotten.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just kind of like, I liked it. I didn't love it.
Yeah.
I think, like I said, I think my main issue was that, like you said, there was a little too much. It was a little too dialogue heavy, a little too, you know, and not enough creepy shit.
Yeah.
And I just thought that you're not really
getting the movie you thought it was coming.
And then I thought that it's still a horror movie for sure, but it's like, and I thought the third act should have been longer and the first two acts, you know, not. And like I said, I kind of feel like some of the characters that got killed, I wish they'd integrated them into the story more rather than them just being there to get killed by Candyman.
Yeah, and it's nothing against Jordan Peele or anything. Fucking, I liked the movie Us. I liked that one. It was pretty good. But this doesn't hold a candle to it. Out of the two, I'd take fucking Us. That was a much better movie.
Us was weirder.
Yeah, it was a weirder.
It was a weirder concept.
At least he kind of took me into another world. You know what I mean? He had his own fucking weird world of a fucking underworld and, you know, some kind of Jenny kind of explained it to me. I didn't really get it at the time, but it was kind of an analogy. What do you call it?
Allegory.
An allegory. It's kind of an allegory for fucking, like class differences that you could have been high class or low class or whatever.
Yeah, depending on an accident of birth.
That there was another underground, and that was just kind of like a cool concept, and not realistic, but it didn't matter. It was just like a weird thing. It's almost kind of like a nightmarish experience to see that movie, because I've had dreams like that, like open up my closet and find an elevator inside my closet that take me down into a fucking subterranean level of my house that I didn't know existed. You know. 10 miles down and shit with monsters in it or a reproduction of my house, but it's dusty down in there and there's weird shit. You know, I've had those underground dreams before.
Yeah.
But it's kind of like that. But no, just sorry. You know? I mean, it's I wouldn't pay to see it. I'd see it for free.
But like I said, if you like Candyman, it's still totally worth watching.
It depends on how much you like him, though.
Every time I have an opinion on things, I'm not allowed to have the opinion.
You have opinion, but I liked Candyman.
But he's like, you're wrong, this one.
It depends.
I still like the first one better.
It depends on what you're looking for.
But I think this one was better than what I remember of the second one, which I remember just being like mediocre. Yeah. This one was for sure was like a lot better looking. Like I said, I liked the score. I liked at the end, like during the credits, they actually used a little bit of the original Philip Glass score from the first one, but like a different variation on it. I thought that was kind of cool. But there was just like a lot of the visuals, I think, were like the best part of this. You know, in the acting and everything, I really like some of the creepy shots. I just said, like, I think they should have just like rearranged, and they should have like taken out, like I said, they should have taken out the stuff about Brianna and her past and stuff, because that didn't really factor into the story at all. Like, they didn't really, that wasn't a through line. So it's like some of that stuff could have been taken out, and they could have, you know, put maybe more like creepy Candyman scenes in there. That's all. That's really, and it's not a huge criticism, but yeah, I would give it that, you know what I mean? So for tomorrow, several people had been bugging me to watch Brand New Cherry Flavor on Netflix, the series. So I actually did start watching it. I watched most of it. I don't know how many episodes. I know. Well, I know because I was fucking tired.
I know. We got through about three or four of them, I think, though.
No, I think I watched more of them than that. I watched four or five of them. Okay. I'm really digging it so far. It's weird as shit. I love that. But yeah, so I'll probably finish it up tonight, and then we can talk about that tomorrow. Also, what else was I going to say? Oh, there was something else that came on Shudder that was supposed to be really good. So maybe we can talk about that one like later in the week too. But yeah. And like I said, we saw like a bunch of trailers for shit that was coming out like in the next few months. And there's definitely some shit that I want to see. Didn't Tammy tell me when Antlers was coming out?
I don't know.
I thought she said like October 27th or something.
I'd want to see Venom.
That looked the trailer looked, at least looked better looked than really good. Looked even better than the first one.
Yeah, it looked a lot better than the first one.
That was a fun ass movie.
I also want to see like Black Adam and Shazam 2. I think is Black Adam going to be in Shazam 2? Is that how
he's supposed to be?
Is that what it is? Okay, I didn't know if it was his own movie or
I didn't Shazam know when 2. Shazam. I saw a trailer for Shazam 2, but I don't know when it's going to be coming out. So I don't know. We'll see. Grampthers Hammer says Lamb looks dope. That looks like a weird fucking movie.
Which one was that?
Yeah, well, I saw it. I don't think you saw it. That looks like weird as shit. I'm like, ooh, that looks like something I'm gonna be into. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
All right. So, Louis says Jenny, I saw a real good movie on Netflix. It's called The Old Ways. Oh, I haven't heard of that one. I'll have to write that down. So maybe I can watch that one as well. I'm always looking for recommendations, even though I have a huge list of like shit I still gotta get through, but you know. But yeah, so hopefully tonight I can finish up
the Pokemon
Brandy Cherry Flavor so we can talk about that tomorrow. Yeah. What's up, Pokey? All right, so I guess that'll. Oh my goodness, bless you. She's back there sneezing. That's what you get for like smelling stuff that has dust on it. Look at her poking her little head up. All right, so I guess that'll do it, right?
Yep.
All right, so have a good rest of your weekend, you guys. And we'll be back tomorrow afternoon for another matinee show. We'll see you then. Bye.